You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in segment number one, we talk about the MLS playoffs, the knockout round. We also argue with each other about how the MLS should be run, a promotion relegation debate. You know, maybe Ted Westerveld gets involved.
Oh,
who
God,
knows?
No.
In segment number two,
we talk about so many things. We talk about the first leg, the Angelina Jolie for some, the Kathleen Turner for others. The first leg of the next round of the playoffs. Was it good for anyone? Yeah, if you were home, everyone else did pretty terrible. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, everybody.
What's up, guys?
Oh, boy. Cooligans podcast.
It is here. It's here again.
Yeah.
You know, people have tried to shut us down.
And they will not.
Week after week. But they're like, oh, yeah, we can't control the internet.
Yeah, that's right. Can't hold me down. Can't stop us now.
Thank you for listening. My name is Christian Polanco.
That is your name. And my name is Alexis Guerreros.
We are the Cooligans.
It's actually Guerrero. Someone gave me shit for that. When I was in Arizona this weekend, and they were like, Guerreros, isn't it Guerreros? And I was like, yeah, but when you say that, you sound pretentious, like you just did right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's pretentious.
Yeah, but you don't go, I'm Cristian Polanco.
Yeah, I think you're very, but to call it pretentious is really more about white people's sensitivity. You are like the American sensitivity. You don't want to.
No, I just think the general way of saying it. For most of the people I speak to is Alexis Guerreros.
Is that most of the people you speak to are white American?
Well, I married one of them, so I'm kind of stuck there, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, you have to pronounce it the way your wife does.
As a comedian, when you come on stage and there's a person, whether they're white, black, Asian, anything other than Latino,
yeah,
or knowing Spanish, you're not going to go, I'm Cristian Polanco. You're going to say, I'm Christian Polanco. Are you not?
Yes.
You not so long ago filmed a 45-minute special. Someone brought you up to that. Someone brought you up, right? Who brought you up?
Christy.
Christy Cello.
Yeah.
She pronounced your name how? This is on your own special.
I'm not arguing that whether, like, that. It's called, what do they call it? Like, code switching, right? That's like the new term where you adapt to the environment that you're in. You speak the way the people in your environment speak, and that's I understand,
which is true. Like when I go back to Newark, I'm like, what up, homie? I don't say that when I walk into a deli,
and I understand that. But what you called it pretentious to say your name correctly.
It is a bit.
So that's where I disagree. To call it pretentious suggests that you don't want to hurt the feelings of the people that you're saying your name to.
No, I think
you don't want to make them uncomfortable.
It's not making them uncomfortable. It's expecting someone else to now say it in my native tongue. If I was with a group of other Latinos, I wouldn't be like, don't say Alexis, that's pretentious. I'd be like, you know, to someone who clearly doesn't have the tongue fortitude or whatever you want to say to be able to roll the R's in my last name, I'm just not going to do that to them.
Okay. So, but I still don't think it's pretentious because that's how you say your name. And there is some pride in that.
Right.
That,
but you know what? My buddy who's from Poland, when he's in this country, he's not Marcin, he's Martin, and that's fine.
And that's fine, but if you wanted to go by the way his name is pronounced, then it is the onus is on the people who know him to say his name correctly, because that's how he wants to be called.
Why would he want to be called Marcin when he's here? When that's the
Polish version of Martin. There's a lot of names that might be, you know, there's some names that are complicated in an English tongue. And
don't I know it? I live not far from an Ethiopian restaurant, and one of them was like, hi, you know, well, I'm just going to say fake names. You know, hi, my name's Steve. Hi, my name is Janet. And the other one's like, hi, my name is like, Brigigigig. And I was like, what up, homie? And I didn't know what else to say. I'd be like, you're Kyle now.
But what I do is when somebody says like a complicated name or something, I mean, I hear it at first, I'm like, wait, what's your name? I just want to make sure I get it right.
Right, of course. Well, it's what we all do. We don't just sit there and go, nope, not anymore.
So that's the thing. Yeah. So it's not pretentious of them to want to somebody say their name correctly. So it's just this apprehension you feel towards.
I don't know that it's an apprehension. I just think it's like
saying your name. Like if you look, you don't care about your name, but some people do. There are. Some,
I wouldn't say that I don't care about my name either. No,
but there's some people. There's some guerreros in the world that of want course. Their name pronounced guerreros
exactly the way it, yeah, in their native and, tongue. Sure.
So they're not. I wouldn't call them pretentious.
I wouldn't say they're pretentious, but if they sat there like in a business meeting, and everyone would be like, by the way, we have to say, you know, whatever, you know.
But you're associating
Echeverry Guerrero, so I'd be like, just say, like, if you're in Japan, they might say the R's wrong. But you know what I mean? Like, do we have to give them shit for it?
But look, the example you just used, you even said in a business meeting. So this business meeting, the business meeting world, you're implying is this non-Latino,
No. Okay, let me remember. If we're in a non-Latino business meeting, but you know, most business in America is done in English. That's just the general language of business done in this country. So I'm not sitting saying that all the people around me are not very functional and successful Latinos that have broken through the stereotype. I've never said that whatsoever. But maybe the conference call is on and we're supposed to be speaking English in an American way. So, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
and that's, look, there's certain, I would say there's a certain demeanor you may, that your demeanor may change in that environment. But if you want to be called whatever you want to be called, people should call you that. So, and there's nothing
I don't disagree
about it.
It's almost, well, part I disagree.
It's
a bit much.
To me, it's similar to, you know, a transgendered person. Once they, you know, change the gender or they go through that transition and they feel that they are a woman, they want to be called a woman and by the correct pronoun. And some people do feel
I agree.
It is pretentious, but I don't think it's pretentious for them. If they feel they are a woman, then address them as a woman.
Yeah, that's not a problem. But if you all of a sudden...
But rolling the R, that's just way
if
too much.
If you told me your gender is a sound that I have to make every time, I'm going to go, no. I'm not going to do that. I'll give you woman. I'll give you whatever the fuck you want, but I'm not going to all of a sudden sit here and come up with, you know, a special, I'm not going to, you know, make a fart sound with my armpit, roll my R and make a fax machine sound just to placate you.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
I love that. That's the equivalent of rolling your R's.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
It's so difficult.
Now 6 minutes we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with soccer.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but we got to clear this stuff up.
We got to clear the air. Yeah. How dare we go about our business without letting people know how I feel about. Look, if you say Guerreros, I'd be like, yo, man, that's awesome. But I'm not going to force someone to do it.
Sure, that's fine.
Like I give you you know, whatever. I make fun of you for the way you say Chicago. You know, well, that's the right way to say it.
Oh, I am saying it wrong or right?
No,
or?
You're saying it right, but you're obviously saying it wrong. Like you're not saying it wrong, but you're saying it wrong. You get what I'm saying?
So you want people to? I don't know. It seems like you want people to say your name incorrectly. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So, I don't mind.
Anyway, I am Cristian Polanco,
and I am Alexis Guerrero.
Mi gente.
Guapa. Can you hear us? These microphones were salsa dancing.
Thank you for listening to the Cooligans. What a week. And MLS.
Oh, man. It's been, you know, and this is the exciting part. This is the playoffs. This is the postseason.
Yeah, this is pretty hot, man.
This is what, you know, they added a lot more teams like a few years ago. They made it so that the top six in each as opposed to the top four in each could get in because this is the ratings boon for MLS.
Yeah.
So it allows a lot of more teams that maybe shouldn't be in there. But the other thing it does is it creates some amazing, you know, Cinderella stories. Not a lot of them this year, but there's an opportunity for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's been weird. Even in the knockout games, I don't want to say Cinderella. There were some, I guess, upsets. So, you know, the lower seeds beat higher seeds.
Yeah.
You know, in some matches. But for the most part, I mean, there weren't too many surprises.
There was Montreal. One major one.
Montreal was probably the big.
Maybe two. There were two very rather large, surprises.
What was the second one?
Seattle.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Seattle was the higher seed over Sporting Kansas City. So that wasn't too crazy. Sporting Kansas City finished the season, you know, kind of weak the last.
Yeah.
You know, they won their last match of the season, but for the most part, they weren't doing that great. Seattle was definitely hotter.
They're a much hotter team. And that's how do you feel about this now that you've been through an entire season in the Premier League? That's the way that most soccer leagues in the world are run, right? Somebody wins at some point, you know, based on points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there is no postseason. There is no playoffs. It's a very standard, well, you're mathematically now the champion. No one can beat you even if you lose out. So now you win. Leicester City winning, you know, a few matches before the end of the season. This is the other version. You know, we didn't get to see the playoffs last year because we're NYCFC fans, even though we talked about it. How do you feel now? What do you think? Because a lot of people, David Villa in particular, are saying he could see a lot of European clubs or leagues start to implement the playoff system.
Well, this is exciting for the American system of sports, you know, because the eighth seed in basketball, you know, the Knicks in 99, I think,
right?
It was eighth seed and they made it to the NBA finals.
Ugh.
So things like that can.
But is that good? Is that good that the team that whether gets hot good, at the end of the season,
whether it's good or bad, it's exciting.
But what do you think? What do you think about it? Is that good or bad? I mean, I'm asking you specifically that because then the other thing is like, does that make in EPL or La Liga or really any of the major leagues? Every match is important. Every single match, maybe the first three or four. But in the MLS, it's like just finish above that red line, and everyone has the same shot. You know.
I would say it's tough to say if it's good or bad.
Well, do you think minimizes the first few matches of the season? I think it does.
Maybe. Obviously it does.
It makes them meaningless almost.
No, it doesn't make them meaningless, but it makes them less meaningful. But for the sake of what's valuable to the American viewer, to the networks, it's really just how many people are watching. So that's the main purpose,
right? So if you get an uptick from the playoffs, then that's enough justification.
That's all they really care about.
But it changes the way you play the game.
Yes.
You know, if you don't have that pressure on you to win out, especially without a balanced schedule, and this is what the proponents of promotion and relegation are going to say. If we don't have it where we don't have a single table, at the very least, proponents of a single table. If we don't have a single table where, let's say, the supporter shield is the most important, then everyone else doesn't really have to. You don't have that pressure on you to win out every week and to fight for your position and to do all those things that are sort of, a staple, if you will, of the European game or the South American game.
Look, I think it's just different cultural philosophies. I think we're not
true.
Really,
but does that create a lesser player? Does that make it easier to be an American soccer player? Is this part of why maybe it's such a learning curve when they go to Europe or when they go to South America or when they go to Mexico?
I'm trying to figure out how to what would be evidence to sort of make that claim or to prove that claim. I don't see any real evidence because look in the playoff systems of other sports, when the playoffs come around, look at the New York Giants. When they're in the playoff, they're a horrible team during the regular season, but when they come in the playoffs, all of a sudden they have all this this surge.
I mean, you just said the evidence right there. Then the Giants D line doesn't have the pressure on itself to perform from day one.
Definitely the pressure. It's not about pressure, but the quality of the player. You just suggested that does it make a weaker player?
Well, they counteract. The more pressure is on you, the better the player you're going to turn out. You know, pressure creates diamonds. That's how soccer is done everywhere in the world. It's pressure to stay in the academy. It's pressure to make the first team. It's pressure to stay on. It's that consistent high level of pressure that you have to meet.
But I would argue there's more pressure in the playoffs than in the regular season.
But of course, which means that the regular season has less intensity. You have less of a work ethic because you can sort of, walk through the regular season, or at least a good portion of it, because you're like, we just have to make it in the end. And because of the cap, we don't have the ability to just sit there and sell players and bring in new ones. So you almost are guaranteed a job. So you can almost sleepwalk through the first, quarter, maybe even half of the season if you wanted to. Maybe give up in certain matches. This isn't going our way. We had a rough night. I'm just going to stay here, do what I can do, not injure myself, and then go home and we'll play better next week.
Yes.
You can't do that everywhere else.
But you can't do that in the playoffs either.
Right. So you can't do that for a small portion of the season. What I'm saying is in England and in other places, it's pretty much the entire season from the beginning. Maybe the first two matches you can sort of find yourself. But other than that, you're literally fighting for your position because they could just go buy somebody. They could just do anything else where you don't have that ability here. So does that create softer players? You could tell from my argument that I believe maybe a little.
I don't know if I don't think it necessarily creates softer players because of the format that we're playing. But I would say, yes, the cap and things like the other rules in MLS can, yes, create weaker players because, yes, there is less competition. You know, there's not too many people that are competing with you to lose, you know, your $65,000 soccer job. You know,
right?
It's just there's not because
well, there's people
if
like anybody, I'll take 64. You know, like,
no, but if there's anybody of
outside the gate, like come on,
if there's anybody of quality, they're getting interest from leagues that are gonna pay them much much more money. So my argument is no, I don't think the format is devastating to the quality of the American player.
I don't think it's devastating, but I think it's. I struggle for the word I'm looking for here. Big shocker if those of you listen to this podcast, but it's.
You, I mean, you're saying it has a real a direct
it's an effect, yeah,
a real influence, a real yeah. influence, yes, on the player.
And you disagree.
I
because here's the thing. Think of the percentage of players that make it to this pressure cooker that you're saying is similar. That's a very small percentage. At minimum, it's 60% of each division.
Yeah.
At minimum, that's at maximum. And those half of those teams are gone, not a half, maybe 40% of them are gone after the knockout rounds. So think of all the players that don't ever get that experience. Whereas in the Premier League, you know, you could be on Sunderland right now, which looks like a garbage team, and they're getting that pressure every single match. It's creating a better player.
Maybe, but that's
what do you mean? Maybe?
No,
I mean,
but
it's literally been but these things have been talked about for
all
decades.
I'm saying is that it's really about what is like culturally sort of what is the what do they want? Like, yeah. Do they want a better player? Maybe that's not the case. It's, they want more viewers. So
I know
the
I
priority
agree
is not about the quality of the
100%. I think they're putting that aside for the purpose of getting a better viewer because they're saying if we become a much more successful league, we can implement all of these things that you want. Yeah, 100%. You're right. But there,
I don't think, you know, tomorrow, you know, next season, MLS goes into promotion relegation and they have that system. I don't think we're going to see immediately a greater athlete, a greater soccer American soccer player.
No, and athlete, I hate that word for the purpose of talking about soccer because that's not what's important.
There's so many other things in place that stifle the quality of American players.
Right.
That when I think of the first remedy to make the American players better, I don't think let's get rid of the playoff format. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think it needs to be gotten rid of. I think more important would be a balanced schedule.
Okay.
But you said it wouldn't be in the top of the list. Do you know what would be on the top of your list? Have you ever thought about this? If you were Don Garber tomorrow.
Youth academies investing in that, like following the FC Dallas formula for
I agree. I think
more teams should do if they focus on that.
Whoever's the head of FC Dallas should write a pamphlet or a presentation and send it to everyone in the league, and everyone should be forced to follow.
That would be
similar to like Germany did.
Yeah, that would be the first thing that comes to mind to improve, you know, the American player.
And I would say they should make it where mid-season implementation of academy players actually add to your cap. They actually, not only do they not count against it, you get whatever allocation money. Let's say youth allocation money. Let's just throw another yam. Let's throw yam on top of the TAM and on top of the GAM. Now you got yam.
Yeah.
You got a whole lot of yam. It's like Thanksgiving up in here. All right. You've got yam on yam on yam. Rappers are going to start talking about yam. It's going to be a whole lot of things. You now get more money towards your cap for implementing youth players because I think that that's going to create pressure for the folks that are already in year 23. to know that there's these kids that are good that can come up here and take your job, which there's a way of adding that pressure without having to do away with the cap, which I don't think they're ready to do.
Well, I mean, we have the ideas. I mean, MLS.
Did we solve everything?
I think we just did.
I'm not sure, but I think we should not only be the Cooligans, but we're also American soccer saviors.
Yeah. So let's go over some of the knockout games.
That right. We were just talking about the playoffs. The first thing you do is, what is this? This is 5 or 6, right?
What do you mean 5 or 6?
The knockouts.
This is, three, four, five, and six. So 3, 6 play each other.
That's right. I'm sorry. The first two get a bye. So everyone else plays each other.
Exactly. So we'll start with Toronto against Philly. I believe this was the first knockout game played.
Yeah, this is clearly the beginning of Toronto's resurgence. And the big issue with Toronto was all of the injuries. You know, how are they going to play? You know, Giovinco never played with Altidore. As soon as Altidore came in, it was maybe 2 or 3 matches, and then Giovinco got injured and blah, blah, blah. It looks like it didn't matter, okay? It looks like it did not matter at all.
Yeah.
This is such a stacked team. This is the new LA Galaxy where I'm watching the match and I'm like, how is this possible in the cap? How do they have this many people?
They did look really good. They won 3-1. Philly, I mean, no one really we were talking last week. We didn't really expect Philly to get out of this.
But like them and DC, I kind of like, now that they're here, maybe they'll make some noise, you know?
Philly just looked outmatched. I mean, there wasn't too much.
All over the place.
They can do. I mean, Philly probably, they most likely were going to lose this match, but it didn't help the mistakes. They just made mistakes that cost them.
Even players that have been amazing, like Rosenberry, was out there making mistakes. Look, he's a rookie. This is his first season. Up for Rookie of the Year, we just found out.
Yeah.
Incredible player. And I think he has a bright future. Clearly, this was a bit much of a moment for him. You know, he seemed to have, you know, made a couple of mistakes, which, you know.
The big mistakes were from Ken Tribbett.
God.
From Philly.
He was out there river dancing in front of the goalkeeper.
Really poor defense. I mean, it was the reason probably 2 of those goals happened.
Right.
The first one, a ball just bouncing in the box. Andre Blake goes to play. Just misplays it. And Altidore, you know.
Yeah, like sort of rainbows it behind his head.
Yeah.
And then Giovinco rainbows it into the goal. It was one of those weird, you know, like their elation wasn't that they scored, that they actually found a way to make that work.
Exactly.
This isn't something they went over in the training ground. This was just, but see, these are the, you know, sort of lucky bounces that you need in order to win an MLS Cup. And it's a little scary that Toronto, as stacked as they are getting these lucky bounces. Like, no. They should be working harder.
I mean,
it's like a beautiful guy who has money. And you're like, how am I supposed to compete
with
this guy?
And a large penis.
Yeah.
He's like, how many good things you have going
on?
Why
are you wearing bicycle shorts? Oh, I can tell why you're wearing bicycle shorts. You know, Jesus. You've never had HPV or herpes. Good God.
Altidore, you know, I would say, maybe that first one wasn't very lucky. I mean, it was definitely a mistake by Tribbett, but Altidore is just a big dude. I mean, ever since he's been back, he's been just stronger than everyone.
What is it? 11 goals in 15 matches. I mean, he's clearly, what I'm really impressed with is we were talking about off air is, you know, I remember him from his Red Bull days, not incredibly a lot, but I remember every highlight I ever saw of him was just him massacring the ball into the back of the net. He was just he was fast and he was a ripper. That's all he was.
Yeah.
He ripped as hard a shot as he could. He has learned through some really tough, you know, goes, just how to use his body size, because he is a monster of a man. How to use his body size and, you know, the technicality with his feet. He has both of these playing at such a high level. That's a very dangerous center forward, you know, someone who could turn their back to goal and you can't muscle him off the ball.
Yeah.
And has the ability to turn around and play you directly, you know, come at you. He is such a weapon that I used to want him off the national team. Now I'm like really excited about his inclusion in the national team because he seems to be figuring it out. Like when he was at Azi Akmar, you know, he was just sort of running around people. He was using more of that. Now you could really see him use, because, you know, MLS is much more of a physical league. Defenders are much more physical, or they actually care here as opposed to the Eredivisie. And you could see him really using every one of his attributes to score. And it's incredible.
It has been impressive. Yeah, he's a threat. He's definitely just, and when we saw what he did to NYCFC. But look, Toronto's... they're hot at the, obviously at the right moment, but I would
tell me about it.
I would argue that I don't think they're getting some lucky breaks, but they are playing very aggressively and they're causing mistakes. And we saw that with Philly. Bedoya got one goal for Philadelphia Union. Obviously, they wanted more from this season, but you know they ran into a powerhouse. There was not much they were going to be able to do.
Right. And I will say that I'm going to start pulling back on saying that you can't come in midseason and be functional or effective, because I think we've seen that across the board. Just that whole rumor is, or that effect is gone. You know, Alejandro Bedoya has been absolutely incredible for them this season. He only gave them half a season. If you're a Philadelphia Union fan, you know, Marissa Pilla, who came on here with us, I think all of them, maybe in that conversation, that she was still unsure they were going to make the playoffs. There's so much that they're looking forward to next year. Look at everything they were able to get out of the draft and everything they were able to bring in. If they continue to do that, if they continue to find Rosenberries out there and they continue to bring in guys like Bedoya, even not even all the way, like, you know, I know Tranquillo is leaving, or Tranquillo, because he's not Latin. If guys, if they can find a replacement for him and bring other guys like that in, they're going to be such a wonderful team to watch.
A lot of promise. I think even next season, I think they are in the playoffs again. I think they have a lot to build on.
But look, last season they were terrible, and look how great they got in the playoffs this year. This is a positive ending for them.
Definitely. So next up, the Seattle Sounders against Sporting Kansas City.
Big game.
I mean, very, very intense.
The energy. I got to be honest. Those are the two teams. You got to love playing for either of those two clubs, because, man, those fans at SKC were just going. Going nuts. And you know, SKC would have been just as lit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's got to be great to play for either of those clubs.
Seattle wins 1-0.
Kind of.
from a goal of Nelson Valdez. Who did not score all season.
And if you ask Failhaber, also did not score in the playoffs.
Yeah, there was if you didn't see the post game interview, it was posted on YouTube. I forgot.
We played the audio before this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Failhaber was just the level of sarcasm. I mean, you won't find it stronger in like a 12-year-old girl.
No,
I mean,
no, not at all.
It was really,
you couldn't roll your eyes harder than he was talking. His anger is like, you can feel him white knuckling his car keys or something in his pocket. He was as angry as anything. And they're saying this is his last season in MLS. He's being looked at by some other leagues, you know, clearly a high level of a player. So
yeah,
you hope he sticks around, but man,
he was not happy. Look, most people were not happy. There were a lot of controversial.
Even Seattle fans have to admit that was offside. That was so clearly offside. Look, the officiating is something we've talked about so many times. So, get it straight.
I mean, there was a goal, taken back from Matt Beisler, who, you know,
was barely off, I mean, like, off a set piece, slight shoulder offside.
Yeah, he was offside. And look, the fact that the linesman saw it, like, good on him, like, great work.
Where was he?
But I believe it was like almost like 83rd, 84th minute, you know, a cross by Jovan Jones to Valdez, and Valdez is clearly offside. I mean, much more than Beisler was.
Way more.
And the flag stayed
down. I mean,
down.
An entire body offside.
Yeah, maybe like a half a torso, you know?
No, it was more than that. It was, one leg was not offside, and that was it. One leg and one arm.
That's right.
We're all that were not offside. And the thing about, you know, the Seattle Sounders is, I'd like to see them advance anyway. They're a very exciting team to watch and obviously a great fan base. I can't say enough how much Jovan Jones has been integral. Now, I haven't watched all season, so I don't know if he's been integral the entire season. If you guys are Seattle Sounders fans, let us know what you think. Email us. Let us know what you think of Jovan Jones. Just watching these last two, the first leg of the playoffs, the next round and the knockout, yeah, he is just so integral. And really, a lot of their players just step up, man. You got Ladero and you've got Alonso. Shouts to both my nationalities right there. You know, it's Jordan Morris, who we panned him on this podcast, and damn, he's standing up and saying, I'll take care of this on my own.
He did look great. I mean, one, that's what you mentioning, Osvaldo Alonso. He had a yellow card, and there was obviously another controversial tackle that he made on Failhaber.
He should have had a red card. Yeah,
and it's tough. I if you've seen it from like a couple angles, it really does look like he gets the ball first. I mean, it's really hard to tell. He does hit Phil Harbert, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But it looks like he got the ball.
It was kind of similar first. to the red card and the Red Bull match, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar. But, you know, I know you're saying he got the ball first, but if he got a straight red in that moment, would you be surprised?
No, I would be surprised. Yes, I would be surprised.
If he got a second yellow, would you be surprised?
No, I wouldn't have got a second yellow, but it was definitely not a straight red. It was from the angle that the referee is looking at. So he's basically looking at it from behind the player,
which is behind the ball.
You don't know. So he had to go with like a gut decision. He's like, I'm not gonna change the game so dramatically.
Right.
He didn't know. He wasn't sure.
And you see that a lot. You do see that a lot in every league where they're like, look, it was iffy, but that's not enough for me to say yes, take this player off the pitch.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, if Alonso doesn't have a yellow card already,
that's a yellow.
He gets a yellow.
Yeah, that's a yellow right there.
Yeah. So the ref didn't want to, basically determine the result of the game. So that's why he didn't take him.
And maybe if he had three warnings already, maybe that's why. But I didn't see the ref warn him in that moment. And I think that's where you get a long conversation, especially since he's the captain. You know, that's who typically the ref is supposed to be speaking to anyway.
Yeah.
You have a long conversation, go, look, that should have been a yellow. I'm not going to give it to you, but one more iffy and you're getting that yellow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Look, the Sporting Kansas City fans were absolutely furious.
Oh my God, of course.
There was a lot.
They were Phil Havering.
There was a lot going on. My favorite thing about the knockout rounds were just like all the shade being thrown.
That's right. Montreal and DC.
Montreal and DC. We'll talk about that. But I mean, one of the things was in Montreal and DC on Twitter. DC were complaining like, oh, Montreal's time wasting.
Yeah, they're wasting time.
They're wasting time. And Montreal responded by saying,
But not wasting chances. And this was back when they were like, I think they were up like 3-0.
And it was great. But also with Sporting Kansas City, they were complaining about the offside, and they tweeted, but it all evens out in the end.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they were showing Valdez offsides,
right.
And then FC Dallas responded to them with the goal last season,
right?
With the ball that went over the line and the keeper cleared it,
right?
And they didn't give them the goal. And when the ball was clearly offside, this was last season in the playoffs.
Yeah, this was last playoffs.
Yeah,
last
season. So and
it was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Whoever's handling the social media, I don't care if they're all in a room together. It is entertaining.
This is great.
This could be Housewives, where we know it's fake. It's still entertaining.
Yeah, because FD Dallas just responded with the picture of the keeper kicking the ball when it's clearly over the line, and just put really,
like, yeah.
Really, it all evens
out.
Oh,
word. Yeah. Oh, I loved it. I love it. And you know, this is what the league needs to do more of, is embrace this part of the culture of the fans,
yeah,
of the banter, man. This is great. You want to see your clubs doing that.
Exactly. Just shade being thrown. Oh my god, it is freezing here. Yeah. All this shade,
we need to stop covering everyone with all this shade.
So speaking DC against Montreal, look, they're at RFK, and DC United heavily favored in this match, especially after Montreal just lost like 3-0 in their final game. They were down 4-0 at one point in this match. This was crazy.
Their center back scored, you know?
Taylor Kemp. Taylor Kemp scored.
A beautiful, you know, like a long range shot. I mean,
Lamar Nagel scored. I mean, this happened all in the 89th and 90th minute.
The match was long gone at that point. Montreal is one of those clubs that is dangerous when they want to play. And it seems like this whole Didier Drogba thing has sort of unified them to the point where they're like, we're going to show them we're not Didier Drogba and 10 other guys.
Yeah.
We're going to go out there and show them who we are. And I can't think of a player, maybe besides Altidore, that is hotter right now than Piatti. Piatti is playing.
Piatti's great, but also Matteo Moncosu.
Moncosu is finishing what Piatti's doing, though. Moncosu out of nowhere, which, you know, there's people talking about like, oh, this was a big risk for, Biello?
Mauro Biello, yeah.
Mauro Biello to have trust in him. And, you know, he's disappeared in matches before. Well, apparently all he needed was a little bit of this pressure we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Because, damn, him and Valdez have shown up, you know?
Yeah, that's like, I guess, like the cool story, you know? And it's
okay. You look at it as look how much they're succeeding. I think you look how much they failed in the past.
Sure. Look, it's
who we are.
Half glass empty or full, whatever. It was. Look, Mancoso and Piatti were great, and they both scored. They both got braces in this game. I think the bigger story is how DC fell apart. I mean, I don't know how defensively, you especially you're at home, like you would,
you're at RFK. I mean, you're right. It's embarrassing. Yeah, that's the big story here.
It's embarrassing. They should have went in with a bit more confidence. It should have been a bit more dominant, and they just didn't show up.
100%.
Especially, losing is losing. That's fine. But losing, being down 4-0 at one point, look, once they were down, I think 2, they were really attacking. They couldn't handle Montreal's counterattacks. And it was disappointing to see, especially from a team that had such a hot latter part of the season.
Yeah, I think the big issue is, and this goes back to all American sports, this is something that maybe you don't get accustomed to if you're not a fan of American sports, but the idea of resting your players before a playoff, you know, how does a bye week hurt you? You know, we're going to talk about that with NYCFC, but you know, resting those big guys at the end of the season, like DC United did in their last two matches or in their last match, that you don't do that. Soccer is a momentum rhythm game. And we're seeing, I mean, you know, I know sometimes it works, but I think we're seeing right now that, you know, resting those guys at the last, in the last game of the season has hurt DC United. And I think that's part of what it did. Maybe it's a little bit of rust. Maybe it's a little bit of, you know, unfamiliarity with each other. Is that a word I might have just created?
Unfamiliarity.
There you go. But that any little bit of that confidence shaking is terrible for your club. And this is, I feel that's exactly what happened to DC.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what game plan they went in with Montreal, but they,
whatever just, it was wrong.
They got completely outdone, man. Yeah. Yes. Just a bummer. Yeah. You just, even just like as a fan of soccer, you just, and especially a knockout, you know, one and done game, you just expected them to come with a little bit more.
Yeah. This was their moment. This was their moment to prove that the last half of the season was really them.
Yeah. So, I mean,
they failed.
The more news with Drogba, but yeah, he didn't. He was there tweeting from the game, which, yeah, who knows? Like, it's just so strange. I don't know what's going on with him because he's apparently fit enough to play, but
didn't want to be not in the 18.
Or
not in the first 11.
And then they also mentioned, like, oh, he has a back injury. I feel like they're just lying.
Yeah, the back injury is clearly a lie at this point.
He hasn't played in weeks. No. I can't imagine it.
But look, what an illustrious end to your MLS career. He probably doesn't really care that much. He cares enough to be there, though. I'll give him credit. Which, you know who doesn't care as much? Where's the rest of Montreal? Why were there so many empty seats in that building? It's a playoff game.
Oh, you mean, like, why didn't they travel to RFK?
Well, I'm sorry. I was talking about the because he was at both matches.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. All right. So, well, yeah, we're gonna
talk about that in a second.
The first, like the final knockout game was LA Galaxy against RSL. RSL, I thought they would play just maybe a little bit better. They didn't look really good. They didn't have many chances. LA Galaxy kind of, you know, even Landon Donovan started. They had a they just looked stronger.
Yeah, I mean, it's another stacked team. And, you know, I look at guys like Joao Plata, and I look at guys like Movsisian. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to pretend to say his first
name.
You
said it right, Movsisian.
I know I said that part right, but yeah. I wasn't even going to go with the first one. But, you know, I was looking for guys like them to step up, and let me see what you got. You know what I mean?
I mean, the person who really stepped up was Boateng.
Boateng looked incredible. And this
Emmanuel
is,
Boateng this is the Galaxy, yeah.
This is what someone who has both pace and, you know, foot skill.
And a very large forehead.
Oh, my God. That hairline is Stephen A. pushed back. But Stephen A. Smith, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, you go to your barber and you go, yo.
Let me get the headphones.
Let me get the Stephen A. He's like, yo, I got you, fam.
Yeah. And he just weed whackers the first half of your head. Looking at someone like Boateng, it's like, this is someone who you probably don't prepare for. You know, you're reading down the list of players and you're like, oh, we're going to let those guys beat us. He's one of those guys that you say that, and he will beat you. You know, he does fade in certain moments. So you hope he fades, you know, if you're playing against him, you hope he doesn't show up. But man, when he does,
he was great. He cut through all the RSL defenders for,
yeah, he did.
For that one goal, which
he
is just,
did what we've hoped Steven Mendoza would do all season as an NYCFC fan.
Yeah, I mean, Boateng has, you know, he's like as small as Jovinko, but he just has, he's just stacked.
Yeah,
like,
he's just like a stocky, strong.
He's like a,
he's much more of a bulldog.
Yeah, you know that superhero Puck.
No,
remember Puck.
The one from Real World, the bicycle.
No, he's like a Marvel character. He's just like a small man, but he's just like dense, you know. And that's sort of what.
Yeah, he's like a little juggernaut.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Okay, see, okay. I know some yeah, nerds.
You read a comic book?
No, I just know it from the video that was really popular like 10 years ago, where the guys, you know, the oh, his helmet too big. You don't remember that?
I don't remember.
Oh,
that.
I'm gonna play it for you before the next one. I'm gonna play it just so that the next, it's hilarious. He like, damn, bitch. As he would come in, it was hilarious. It was okay. A bunch of dudes from Harlem. It was hilarious.
So, but Boateng, yeah, he did shine. We got one goal from Alan Gordon, and then two from Boateng.
Which Alan Gordon? this guy is like, he's our Jamie Vardy in the sense that Jamie Vardy last season, everyone's like, how is he doing this? He doesn't belong here. That's kind of how I feel about Alan Gordon. I mean, I like the guy. I'm sure the guy's a great guy. But you watch him run, it's like a Clydesdale out there.
Yeah,
he doesn't have pace. He doesn't have foot skill. He doesn't have anything.
He's pretty tall. I mean, he is like...
He's height, and he finds the back of the net. And you can't...
Yeah.
You can't hate on that, yeah. You know?
I mean, yeah, he has like that, you know, that striker's mentality. He just knows where to be. Yeah. Position, but wherever that position is, he's going to get there slowly.
Yeah, I mean, let him, give him some time.
Give him some time.
He knows where he needs to be.
He'll get there.
Come on, give him a break. He's doing it as best he can.
So, yeah, LA Galaxy wins this one pretty easily. RSL, yeah, kind of mid-table year, the entire season. They really didn't look so great. You know,
no, they didn't.
But they just got outdone. LA Galaxy had all the confidence and energy sort of backing them, and they took advantage of that.
Yeah, and I think if you're RSL, you know, you're going into next season, you're keeping Plata, you're keeping Mo Sissian, who clearly wants to stay.
Yeah,
you know.
What is it, Javier Morales, I think?
Yeah.
He's the other one that's also really good.
And, you know, you look at that and you say, how can you build around them and start to find a replacement for Kyle Beckerman, who's starting to look a little bit his age, you know? And I know he's still going to get opportunities with the national team and whatnot, but, you know, he's not exactly, he's not a spring chicken anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Beckerman just needs to, you know, start a weed dispensary already.
Funny with that hair. Everyone just assumes. I assume it every time, too. And I don't think he does.
He could have a fortune.
I know. Just his looking at his picture would make me want to buy weed. I don't even smoke. I'd be like, yeah, I'll buy those cookies.
Sure, it has great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the best. The commitment you have to be a white guy with dreadlocks in Salt Lake City.
For as long as he has. I mean, it's been years.
Years.
Very committed.
He's skillful. We applaud you. We applaud you.
All right.
We applaud you.
All right. We're going to end this segment and get into the first leg of all the playoff matches in the second segment because just...
Excited. A lot of ups and downs and heartaches and heartbreaks.
Just unbelievable. All the home teams won.
Yeah.
In these first legs. Just crazy.
I don't think a road team scored, actually.
A road team did score.
Did they? We'll talk about it when we come back. So if you're not a fan of MLS, now's when you should be watching.
I don't think a road team scored.
Road team scored. Alexis is right yet again. We'll be right back after this. Hey, what's up, Christian?
Hey, Alexis.
Hey, what are you wearing under your pants?
Oh, I'm wearing some Mack Weldon underwear.
We should have talked about this before I asked you that.
Yeah, good thing I didn't, show up just going commando.
Yeah. You think, that would be fun. No, it wouldn't. Totally ruined Cooligan's Corner. I feel like I'm trapped in Cooligan's Corner. I'll tell you this. I'm also wearing Mack Weldon underwear, and I just got back from a trip. I brought all three pair that I have with me on the trip, and I didn't have a chance. I was in Arizona, very hot, right? My body has now regulated itself to the New York City winter. Mm-hmm. So I get down there. I am sweating profusely. My underwear took a beating. But because I was wearing Mack Weldon, it still smelled like I never wore them. It almost fools you into thinking you don't have to shower.
Yeah, I've never even heard the phrase, my underwear took a beating. I never heard that sentence before. No?
Well, you don't swing like I swing, my friend.
No, it's been great. We've been using Mack Weldon stuff for a while now. And every time I play soccer, always play in my Mac Weldon underwear. I love the, I also love the Mac Weldon undershirt. Also has the same, you know, like qualities where it doesn't pick up any smell.
Right.
So you never, you know, you're never a big gross turd after wearing, you know, Mac Weldon stuff.
No, in fact, I brought my sweatpants. They're not actual sweatpants. They're like those joggers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're cool. They look like you could wear them out. They were a little too warm to wear out. So I actually wore them when I was like lounging around in the hotel room before I went to the wedding, which why I was down there.
Why would you wear your sweatpants out? You're not, you know, a high school girl.
Yeah, but I want people to think I'm young
juicy
and
on
hip.
The back.
Yeah, of course. But you know, like the joggers are now, they're casual but still formal. You know, maybe not formal. Maybe formal is the casual enough to wear outside. And I was about to wear them, but it was just too warm out. So I was like, you know what? I'll just keep this. I'll lounge around. And I don't know what material they're made out of, but they're so comfortable that I'm gonna be honest with all of you listeners. I wore them without the underwear underneath. That's
wow.
Right, baby.
Brit. Oh yeah. I mean, that's almost.
They took a beating.
I just feel bad for everyone around you more than.
Yeah. Well, it was just the wife, but even she was like, "I'm gonna go see what's in the lobby," and I'm like, "I'll be right with you. I'm not allowed to leave."
So, guys, if you want Mac Weldon underwear, sweats, undershirts, they make absolutely amazing.
They make polos too, right?
They make amazing stuff. You have one of the polos. They're great. Go to MacWeldon.com, pick up some stuff. Make sure you use the promo code Cooligans, and you'll get 20% off.
Absolutely. And they also make socks, which are incredible. I have both their athletic socks and their dress socks. Neither one of them, nothing I'm wearing stinks anymore. It's incredible. I don't know how they did it, but they managed to
do it. On the other hand, smell awful.
Oh, I'm still terrible smelling. But the clothes I'm wearing, once I take them off, you're like, it wasn't the clothes.
Yeah.
It's just him.
Now we know for sure.
Yeah, it's his terrible body.
Thank you, science.
Thank you. Thank you, Mac Weldon.
Thank you, Mac Weldon.
Again, that's Cooligans. You'll get 20% off. Go to MacWeldon.com. Check it out. We love it. Can't talk enough about it. We're back, baby.
We're back, guys, to talk about the first leg of the MLS playoffs.
Yeah.
Hot week.
Oh, it's one hot leg.
Yeah, it's
just like that amputee you did in college.
it's the Angelina Jolie dress from the Oscars a couple years ago. That one leg out.
Damn, that's one hot leg. You know the second leg gonna be real hot.
Can't wait to see that second leg.
This was not a stanky leg, not at all.
No, not even close.
No, this was one hot leg.
Man, so. But what was your take just across the whole first leg? I mean, I think that we paid attention to this a lot more than last season.
Yeah, for sure.
Look, first time NYCFC's in the playoffs. Just my mentality overall. Very nervous.
I was really confident going into that knockout round. I'm like, we got a bye week, we good.
Yeah.
And then you see Toronto playing, you're like, oh my God, you know, why do we have to play them? And this is part of what my argument is about sort of the standings, because we don't use tables here. The standings don't really dictate who the best team is at this moment right now.
Yeah, I think that's very, very clear, because every team... every team that had that won the knockout game, won the first one, their
right.
first leg.
Yeah, and this is just part of that momentum carrying over, and you
it's
know,
almost like playing the knockout round is an advantage.
Yeah, it seems like it, unless you get an injury, which if you're NYCFC, you got an injury without playing in that. Pirlo apparently, took a knock.
He had a calf issue.
Calf issue. And Vieira had a brain issue when he was setting up the lineup and formation and tactics. But, you know, the rumor is that they had a players-only meeting after that. I mean, like, there's a lot. We'll talk about that. Let's go through it. But to talk about what you asked, my general feeling was one of a high level of excitement and a high level of anticipation, but also a little bit nervous. And I'm not a nervous guy. Nothing really makes me nervous. But you could see the writing on the wall. All the home teams were winning. You know, none of the road teams were winning. None of the road teams were even scoring. You know, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there wasn't too much optimism as far as, like, for whatever team you support. Like, I think going into that first leg, I don't know what team could have went in saying, like, we definitely got this. There weren't any real
It seems like
matches
maybe
like
FC Dallas did,
FC Dallas probably the
got
closest.
Punched in the mouth.
Should have had most confidence. Maybe that's what, like, worked against them. You know?
Like not prepared for a punch in the mouth. Like, you just took a bite of a sandwich, you know, and you're just like, man, that's a good sandwich. All of a sudden, You get walloped.
Why
in
are
the
you?
Mouth.
Why is this a Jackass video or bum fights?
Oh man, you know they would not fight if they had sandwiches on bum fights. Remember they made that guy get the tattoo on his head. I didn't play the video for you. All right, we'll do it before the end of the thing.
Okay, so let's start with the games in the order that they were played. Montreal against the Red Bulls. The Red Bulls went over to Stadio Saputo.
No one's doing good in Canada. Portland lost in Canada before the end of the season. Didn't make the playoffs. You know, Montreal wins their first match. Red Bulls go up there. Boom, they lose 1-0.
Yeah.
On a wonder strike, a golazo. What is French for golazo?
I don't know.
Golazo. Oh, man. It was Mancoso. It was just out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean.
The striker you've always wanted.
Yeah, overall, like the Red Bulls seemed, you know, the last few weeks, look, they were unbeaten in the last 20 matches.
Which I
wasn't even aware of that. That's ridiculous.
Well, the way they play, they remind me a lot of Tottenham in that way, where, you know, they play this a certain style that leads to a lot of draws. You know what I mean?
You look, the Red Bulls, you sort of expected them to get a win here. Look, BWP just gets the golden boot. He scores two goals the final game. They looked just incredibly optimistic that they would get one here.
I think we both agreed that they looked to be the hottest going in. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, they were the one with the highest percentage of winning the MLS Cup.
That's right.
You know, this is a big step back for them, but another team with, you know, a lot like NYCFC that had that bye week.
Yeah. Well, it's impressive. I would say what's more impressive here is Montreal's defense to leave them scoreless, to leave the Red Bull scoreless that's not easy. So that's pretty impressive on their part. The fact that the Red Bulls couldn't score is probably, you know, obviously a little bit surprising.
Yeah, that's a notch on your belt for sure. So
Look,
they were laying their body on the line. You saw that block at the end of the match that Oyongo put on BWP. I mean, he literally, and he was falling. You know, there's a lot of people, when you see the inside the net cam, you could see him tripping. He threw his body at the ball. And I'm like, that's what you do to win a match.
He did almost like a Jimmy Superfly snooker jump
off the top of the cage.
He threw his arms up. I mean, it could have hit his hand. It would have been really bad.
He actually looked at the crowd and swiped across his neck before he did it. You know, just to let him know this is over. This is his finishing move. It was incredible. And if you're Montreal,
BWP should have made that goal.
Oh my God. First of all, BWP could have sent that ball anywhere except across the floor and it would have went in. But you got to give credit to Oyongo because he knew. And same thing with Bush. Bush, when BWP sort of was in the clear and he knew, he was like, I've watched enough tape to know he's going to try to chip it over me. And he stood at the end of his box and he did that. And it's like, there you go. It's the last spot he could have touched the ball with his hands. It's all. The one thing I will say about Montreal is they were very prepared for this match.
Yeah, it did look like it. And look, I don't think they could have won this match without, you know, an amazing goal like Mancuso.
Oh, 100%.
They needed something special.
That should have been 0-0. That should have been 0-0. You're right.
Exactly.
I think you're right. I think they got something special. And again, Piatti, not his best match ever, but he was playing at a very high level. And, you know, you got guys like Sasha Kljestan and you got Dax McCarty. You've got, you know, BWP. I know there's, you know, Grella. All these guys play an incredible level. And you've got, you know, Montreal just digging in and saying, we're not going to let you score here. And, you know, look, they're going to Red Bull Arena. That's clearly a home field advantage for Red Bull there. They love to play there. They're going to play really, really well, I'm sure.
Look, they only went down one aggregate. So, I mean, they have a
2-0.
Really good chance to win.
But Montreal plays parking the bus a bit.
We'll see.
If you send everyone at them, I mean, this is...
I don't think Montreal can leave the Red Bulls scoreless for two games in a row. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Jesse Marsh is going to change whatever strategy he needs to at least get one in.
Well, look, I don't think they walked into Montreal with a different strategy and they were able to hold him. It's different in their house. I agree with you. But I don't know that Jesse Marsh is all of a sudden going to say, you know, send the back line. I don't think he's going to put, you know, 11 guys in front of the ball. I don't think that's going to happen.
The Red Bulls can easily put up two or three.
You're right.
On Montreal. But Montreal's going to, they're getting at least one goal.
You think so?
They definitely.
Who do you think? What do you think the final aggregate score is here?
I'm gonna go with aggregate. I'm gonna say You know, I don't even know that if it's going to be aggregate. I think it's going to go to extra time.
Well, you think the aggregate will be tied? You think
it'll be tied, and then they're going to decide at extra time.
Penalties?
Either it's going to Red Bull's going to win in extra time, or they're going to win in penalties.
I think the Red Bulls are going to win this one.
I think 1-0 aggregate to Montreal is not a big enough lead.
It's not enough. No, it's not enough. I do think Montreal walks away with this. I think Montreal walks away with this. It may be penalties. It may not. But I think they walk away with a 1-goal cushion. I think they're going to be able to sort of withstand that fire once again. And if anything, they're going to be able to match it. So I think they walk away 2-1. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
I think they each score 1 goal.
Yeah, so I guess the aggregate would be 3-1, right? If they
it's 1-0, and I think they're each going to score one, so it'll be 2-1.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. That's fair.
Although I would love to see penalties. I always enjoy that as the second legs.
Next up, LA Galaxy against the Colorado Rapids. LA again. This is another defensive match. You expect this from Colorado. I think the fewest goals against in the league, I believe, or close to the bottom. A weird goal from Gio Dos Santos.
Yeah.
Basically an own goal for Axel Schuberg. Bounced off of Schuberg's head and just kind of almost like a weird chip.
Well, yeah, Giovinco seemed to try to catch
Dos Santos.
Sorry, Jesus. Gio Dos Santos tried to catch like the open part of the net, which is shocking to see someone do that. BWP, you might want to take a note. But Schuberg, who's been doing this all season, sort of uses his head to clear it.
Just not high but enough.
He, as opposed to clearing it behind, I guess he was scared of the pace of it. So he decided, I'm going to send it opposite. But what it did was it sort of looped it. It chipped it into the top corner of the other side. And, you know, somebody posted on Twitter that I don't think you'll ever see a bunch of Americans cheering for Gio Dos Santos scoring against Tim Howard again. You know, that's a little eerie. Sure. But if you're an LA Galaxy fan, this is part of that. You know, they say the magic of the FA Cup. This is the magic of the MLS playoffs. These are the things you need to win the cup. And you need these lucky breaks. Now, it may change. That may change when you go to Colorado. It's a different height. You're playing at a different, elevation. Colorado clearly knows how to play at home. I think this still goes to Colorado.
I agree. I think Colorado, they're going to figure out a way to do this. I mean, look, the goal was pretty lucky. And
they needed that.
And defensively, they're so strong. They don't really make many defensive errors. Axel Schuberg is also up for Defender of the Year in the MLS. That's not by accident. He's a giant man. And look, I think LA got lucky to win this one.
I agree. I think LA is lucky. I think if you walked away with 0-0, you'd have just as much confidence in Colorado. I still have that confidence in Colorado. I've never had confidence in Colorado ever before. This is the only time that I'm going to sit here and say that I'm willing to go on the line and say you're going to see a goal out of Hairston, or at least an assist out of Hairston.
Okay.
Well, I think these guys are going to be attacking.
Jermaine Jones should be back also.
Oh, that's right. By God, you know, he's going to be playing the whole match. Oh, God. Yeah, he changes the game when he comes in.
Yeah, and that's really the issues for Colorado, even throughout the year, have never really been defensive issues. It's more offensive. So and he helps that and just to get that midfield up. Well,
and that's the thing. He plays so much more further ahead that he is able to be sort of that anchor man, you know, up top. Like he's able to sit
like Will Ferrell.
He's Will Ferrell. He's Will Ferrell. So he brings the dog with him and everything. So what I'm saying is like
Colorado means whale's vagina. You know that?
Of course. I think we all know that. For those of you, it's Colorado if we're not being pretentious. If we are being pretentious, but what you see what Jermaine Jones does is he's able to keep the ball way in the other team's 18, and he's not afraid to track back, where I forget the gentleman's name who was up there before him, much more of a defensive, lying back, protecting the back line. Jermaine Jones is now doing that. Jermaine Jones is forcing pressure on the back line and against, an older back line. You know, we saw some fancy footwork out of, Van Damme and everything, but... with an older backline like they have, I think that puts too much pressure on him. I think Jermaine Jones does exactly what he does. Every time he comes on the match, he changes it. He did it for New England. He's doing it for Colorado. I think they walk away with this.
Yeah, LA has to figure out defensively how to handle Colorado's defense and They also, in the second leg, Steven Gerrard might be making a return. Robbie Keane may start.
They need Robbie Keane. If Robbie Keane comes in, that'll help, you know, even out what Jermaine Jones is doing. But
so
anyone but Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon. next up.
You're big on the comic book references today. What happened? You nerd out this weekend?
Next up, TFC, Toronto FC against NYCFC.
Let's not talk about it.
So this was, look, we're NYCFC fans. This was a game, I mean, first playoff game for NYCFC. They end up losing this one 2-0. We have lots of opinions on this match.
Look, the first thing we need to talk about is the starting lineup.
Yes,
the starting lineup and the tactics. Now, let's just say, without going into a lot of individual detail, they came out very defensive, and that was their game plan. That's not going to work with David Villa. Now, he put in Vieira, put in Steven Mendoza, and kept him in for the entire match because he's the pace. So you're saying this is how we're going to spring into attack. Matarita comes forward, who's your left back, your left midfielder, which would be, in this case, you know, I know they don't play they play a 4-3-3, so he's a bit more forward. But you've got Mendoza up there. So you've got two pacey on the left, and that's how you're going to be able to counter. And he's playing very defensively. Now, for everyone who sits there and says, I don't know why he would do that, think about where Vieira's done in his career. He's never played in a playoff match, but what he has played is in Champions League. And what do you do when you go on the road to a tough match? You know, you're playing, you're an English team, and you're going to, you know, a Bulgaria or Romania or one of these tough, like, you know, just you may be better than the club that you're facing, but you know it's going to be intimidating. What you do is you say, I'm going to go there and I'm going to play defensively because, you know, they're at home and they're going to be playing very forward. We're going to play defensively, and then we're going to be able to secure less, you know, we're going to be able to secure a better aggregate score going back home.
Yeah.
Clearly what he was trying to do. So everyone who's like, what's he trying to do? Why is he playing this way? He's not an MLS guy, okay? And that's not bit us in the ass until right now. Probably the worst time to bite us in the ass, but it bit us in the ass finally. And here's the moment. I don't disagree completely. I wouldn't have done it that way, though.
Well, we talked about the lineup, the biggest changes. Josh Saunders, the starting goalkeeper, started 33 matches for the team.
This wasn't his first start for Eirik Johansson.
Eirik Johansson. So he played in the final match.
And he looked great.
And he looked great.
So, he looked better than Josh Saunders.
So they brought him in for the NYCFC's first playoff game. And I'm just saying, whether it's right or wrong, it was a very bold decision.
You play the hot hand. The guy's 6'8". All he has to do is lean to one side and he covers the entire
He did make some big saves. I would say that the issue was he's not the reason NYCFC lost.
No.
Without a doubt.
But here's the thing, and here's where I'll agree with you. If the reason why he was put in is because of how stoic and comfortable he is playing out of the back, why bring him into a match where you don't play out of the back?
I mean, they tried.
Barely. That clearly wasn't the main goal of the of that.
But he didn't make any mistakes getting the ball out of the back.
We didn't.
So the
but it wasn't really our tactic in that match. We're playing Route One, which I'm fine with if that's what you're saying. You know, this is what we need to do to win on the road against a clearly high-level competitor.
I would say the bigger impact was the fact that Andrea Pirlo injured, did not play this game. We found out that he wasn't going to play just a couple, maybe hour or two before the match.
Yeah.
So that was a big surprise. And the choice to replace him was Mikey Lopez. And he is not Andrea Pirlo. We know that.
No, he's not.
And
I don't even think he's an MLS player. No offense to him.
My guess of what Vieira's strategy was, especially without Pirlo, we're not going to have a cohesive sort of midfield, a particularly strong offense. There's not going to be that playmaker in the middle of the pitch. So,
but we have other options.
But regardless if we have other options, I think his choice was let us. We only need one.
Let's bunker down.
Yeah, we only need one goal, so let's focus more defensively. And Mikey Lopez, out of all the choices,
is a much better defensive midfielder.
You're
right, but here's where you're wrong. We have this guy that we're paying $750,000 a year to that has not played, but played pretty good
Bellucci.
In Mexico.
You're talking about Medi Bellucci, right?
Medi Bull Hog Bellucci. I mean, first of all, can the guy score a wonder goal? He has, okay? took his shirt off, great six pack. I'm not going to argue with the guy.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm talking about. First of all, Mehdi Bellucci, a great midfielder, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe not the most defensive midfielder, so he probably wouldn't have fit in that match.
But good on the ball.
Great on the ball, okay? How about we have his autograph, one of us has his hat. How about Mix goddamn Discarude, yeah. Huh? What about this is the moment? And also, if you want to sell this guy, this is the moment you bring him in. If you want to get rid of Mix Discarude, you bring him in now. He plays well. You're going to sit him. You're not going to create a controversy. You're going to sit him back down for Pirlo. But he could walk away. Him and his agent can walk away and say, look, when we had the chance, look how great we looked. All we need is the opportunity to start. Yeah. If he looked terrible, you say, see, that's why we didn't play him this entire time. Right now, Mikey Lopez is the scapegoat for this entire match. And Vieira, when this is your moment, you have nothing to lose if you're Vieira and you put Mix Discarude in. Nothing to lose. The guy likes to play defensively now. He's learned to do that. And you know he's good enough to spring the attack.
I think that
tell me that wasn't a better option.
Look, Mix hasn't played.
Don't. It's a yes or no question.
No, I don't. Not, I don't. Look,
you
is
think
it a,
it's not?
Is it a better
He played
option?
In Mexico. What do you mean he hasn't played?
No.
He played more recently than Mikey Lopez.
No,
he started
Mikey
more
Lopez
recently.
Mikey Lopez also played in that
But
game.
I'm saying he started more recently than Mikey Lopez or just as recently as Mikey Lopez.
I don't
Lopez.
Think, given the little playing time Mix Discarude has had this season, I do not think it is a better option. It is an option. It is a valid one.
The guy was a national team player.
I don't think it's a better option. No. As far as the chemistry with the team, It's a risky move.
He used to be national team player.
It's riskier than having Mikey.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
It's riskier. I don't think Mikey was the best option. That's all I'm saying.
This was a lose-lose for Mikey Lopez. A lose-lose. He wasn't all of a sudden going to become this incredible scorer. He wasn't going to be this stalwart in the defense.
Yeah.
We knew what we were getting with Mikey Lopez. We knew exactly what we were getting with Mikey Lopez. Mix Discarude, that's the play. That's the guy you put out there. You have a higher ceiling, a better chance of winning the match. And if it goes bad, you go, see, told you, he can't even help us when we need him. And that's it.
Maybe. Look, all right. That's look, we
not maybe.
Anything could happen.
Alexis, you're right, Alexis.
Anything could
happen. Thank you so much for doing this podcast with me.
Look,
then the fans get to listen to reason.
Vieira made the choices that he made for whatever reasons he made them. I think
you
changing,
aren't angry enough.
I think him, honestly, I would say changing keeper was the bad move. Regardless of Johansson.
Would Josh Anders have affected that result positively in any way, shape, or form? It's yes or no question.
Would he have would he have made the...
It's a yes or no question.
Made the saves? No, I think he would have. I think the change of changing your keeper in the club's first playoff match affects the psyche of all the players. So I would say yes, it would have affected it not as negatively as Johansson.
If this player meeting was because they feel that they're a better... directed defensively when Josh Saunders is back there, then I'll agree with you. But I highly doubt that's the case when defensively they've been pretty terrible all season. I don't think Johansson has done anything negative. Now, again, this is simply from watching. The players themselves may decide differently, and you might be right. I'll give you that. But I think you're wrong. I think the players-only meeting was like, well, we didn't play to our strengths, and what's going on? And I think if Villa was a part of it, he stands up and says, one, he's the gaffer. You listen to him. Two, it's our fault, not his. We play better. Three, I don't know why he took Villa off. Well, again, this is Villa in this scenario, so I don't know why he took me off. But you got to...
Villa speaks in the third person.
Villa loves speaking to the third person. Huge egomaniac. But, you know, you got to support the guys that are out there. We play as a club. We lose as a club. What has their logo been this entire season? We are one. That's their slogan, I should say. It's been their slogan this entire season. We are one. You got to play with the 11 men you have out there. I would not have chosen those 11 men, but I would have chosen Eirik Johansson. I 100% would have chosen him because from what I saw in that last match, I'm like, that's the guy. That's your keeper of the future right there. Let him go out there in those playoffs.
It's a risky move.
I don't think you're thinking strategically at all. You're not thinking about strategically. You're sitting, you're picking scared. That's what you're doing. And that's not what you do. You go out there balls to the wall.
But clearly Vieira made the wrong decision.
Yeah, and you're defending every one of those decisions except Eirik Johansson.
No. It's not about defending his decision. It's I don't think Mikey Lopez was the best choice. I understand because the strategy was to play a more defensive game. And who else besides Mikey Lopez would you have faith in to play, you know, 80, 90 minutes?
I just said mix.
I don't think so. I think I just don't think defensively. If the strategy is let's play defensively, I don't think it's Mix that you want over Mikey.
But Villa
especially
even...
given the fact that Mix has played so little this season. That's all. I'm not saying that Mix is not a better player than Mikey, but given the fact that he has no faith from the gaffer, why would he put him in that situation?
I don't disagree with you there, but I think hindsight is 20/20. And I think if we go back, I think 9 out of 10. If you're an NYCFC fan and you're listening to this, let us know what you would do. Maybe we'll put this up on Twitter. I think 9 out of 10. I think that's how big of a number would have chosen Mix over Mikey. In fact, I'm willing to say 9.5 out of 10. I think if 100 people answered, 95 would say they would pick Mix over Mikey. No, and I bet you Mikey would even be like, yeah, Mix probably should have been in there. I don't think you're looking at it in this sense, because you have to understand, you have to turn defense into offense. You have to go from defending to attacking, and Mikey cannot do that. He can help defensively. He may have the high ratio higher, but I think Mix would have been just as effective as a defender as what we saw, but still would have been even better on the attack.
But my judgment of Vieira's decisions, I'm not defending. I'm not defending the strategy to play that match that way. I don't think they should have.
So then Mix is a better choice.
They should have played to get a goal. They should have played a little, especially towards the end when they took Villa off. They were not playing to get a goal. They were just playing to get that tie, that 0-0 tie.
Even bring out the WM. Bring that back out. You know, the 3-5-3 or what? Yeah,
there was almost no offense.
3-4-3.
There was almost no offense in that match. Villa. He ended up with 30 touches in the match, which is apparently he's only had 30 touches or less only 6 times this season. So he barely saw the ball. And that look, it's because the midfield couldn't get the ball to him.
Where was Tommy? Where's Tommy Turner?
There were so many other options.
He was out there looking for a burner.
Mikey shouldn't have been the one there. I'm just saying it shouldn't have been mixed. That's what I'm saying. But a more offensive minded player who has played with the team regularly this season should have been.
Yeah, but then you don't have any cover for your defense. So you got to have a guy like Mix that can play both ways. Mix is now your de facto box to box guy. We don't have a box to box guy.
Mix is not even part of the equation. He's not playing.
He was there in Mexico. This is when you bring him in.
He's not playing. So
if you didn't realize it, they gave up a late goal as well, so it's 2-0 down to Toronto.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about the next leg?
I mean,
because like, imagine it wasn't Angelina Jolie. This is now Kathleen Turner wearing this dress. It is one ugly leg, and I have a feeling the other one's going to be just as ugly.
It's a good chance. It's probably going to be the other leg.
Just as ugly. I don't think a beautiful leg is hiding behind that dress.
Look, I think it's going to take something absolutely magical from NYCFC. I do think
3-0.
I don't see how they're going to not allow a goal. I just don't.
3-0, 4-1. And if we're pushing to play offensively, look, do we have the firepower? Have we been able to get these types of results in the past? 100%. Do we have the capability on paper to do it? And again, that's Lampard starting, which looks like he's going to have to, and that's Pirlo starting, which you hope he's healthy. With those three players, Pirlo, Villa, and Lampard starting, do we have the firepower on paper to do it? The answer is yes. I think you agree.
Yes, I do.
Now, in real time, the fact that we're going to have to play so offensively now is going to leave us open on the counter, which just on the turn from defending to attacking that Toronto's going to do, having players like Bradley, having players like Jovinko, and having players like Altidore, who are all playing at the peak of their level right now. They're all consistent. They're all hot right now. And they're going to be coming into a very tiny pitch where they can shoot from pretty much the other end and make it. I don't know what to think. I think we're going to be out there. We're going to be cheering. We're going to be going nuts.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great
be fun.
Time. But yes, I don't see how they're going to not allow a goal.
I think it's going to end up being a 2-1 win for NYCFC and then a loss on aggregate.
That's how I feel the same way.
Yeah. If it's 3-1, I'm still walking away excited.
Last year it was a 4-4 draw, so it's not like they can't put any
Oh, they can put the points
they
up.
Can, they can.
Put can the, they stop?
They, the can they stop? The, yeah. Yeah, that's really going to be the concern. It's going to be really tough. I mean, it's going to take just like calm and poised and focused defending from Chanel. I'm confident in Chanel. I'm confident in Briant.
I'm confident in RJ Allen.
Yeah,
he didn't get torched as much.
No, the defensively. Look, I think that the team can play defense. I think NYCFC is a pretty tough defensive team as far as like either one-on-one and knowing sort of where to position themselves. But it's those mistakes that they just, yeah, either playing out of the back. Like the reason the second goal happened was because of Matajerita. The reason the first goal happened was just Bravo not clearing the ball. Like just all he had to do was take one little extra touch to you know, get out of the way of any of the, Toronto players. And, you know, that game could have ended 0-0 with, you know, easily.
Yeah.
So it is just that concentration and that focus to not make mistakes defensively, like, yeah. And not even just like when the other team has the ball. It's like they make more problems. You know, they have more problems when they have the ball. They make defensive issues when,
yeah, you're right,
they have the ball.
Matarita looked terrible all match, and I think he's you know, smart enough of a player to come back stronger. And maybe the pressure of the moment got to everyone. You know, Steven Mendoza looked lost out there. I don't know why. I don't know how this is possible, but every time Steven Mendoza or David Villa had the ball, there were four defenders around them. Where's everyone else?
Yeah.
Where is everyone else?
It looked bad.
All of a sudden, we don't know how to space. We don't have space
anymore.
But
again, I think it was because the purpose of that match was not to win.
I get no, you're right.
That's why I think
they were prevent defense.
Yeah,
I think that's, yeah, you're right.
That's why there were so
you're
many
right.
people. They, so
well, then I'm angry. Who are you angry at most?
You.
That was too fast.
Mad at you.
And you didn't see his eyes, folks. He had honor and truth in his eyes. That was way too fast.
I'm upset with Vieira. I think it was just poor strategy. It was poor planning. You know, I don't think they didn't play to get that one goal.
Jack could have had that one goal. That would have changed everything.
Even when Kyrie got in there was a couple more chances.
Kyrie's super sub now.
Yeah.
Kyrie looking good. But you know what you do? You bring Kyrie in, put him in the right, make Jack go left. And I know that's not Jack's best, but it switches it up for the defenders. Show them something else. Jack has the footwork to be able to handle it because he roams, and keep Villa in.
They should have done more offensively minded changes and just have a stronger offensive strategy.
It should have been done at the half too.
Even for all these first legs, I think all the teams should have tried to make it a bigger priority to score. I mean, to score one. They just needed, every team needed one.
Yeah.
It would have changed
it changes everything. An away goal changes everything.
Exactly. And that's
and Vieira knows that.
Yeah. And none of them played sort of with that real aggression to get that one goal.
It was playing safe, and that never works.
And
I mean, look, it works sometimes, but it's not going to work in the MLS.
Speaking of definitely not playing it safe, Seattle against FC Dallas.
I mean, this was a debaucherous match. It was hard to watch.
I mean, it's very surprising from FC Dallas. They have not looked this bad. Almost. I mean, I think there was one game against Seattle where they gave up, I think, three or four.
But I mean, I think also NYCFC beat them, and they looked kind of bad.
No, yeah. That was a draw.
That was a
2-2 draw. But FC Dallas losing
3-0
to Seattle Sounders. There was a 7-minute stretch in the second half where Seattle absolutely
scored all three goals.
They went off.
They went buck.
And look, the first goal, Nelson Valdez again, another header. Just across, and
that head's not just for that beautiful head of hair, my friend.
and he puts it in, goes over the keeper, puts it right in. Look, a mistake, and you could sort of get past it. Look, if FC Dallas goes into the second leg down 1-0 aggregate, you can live with that.
Yeah, who cares?
Perfectly fine. You're
FC Dallas.
Yeah, you can make it, right? But
3-0 is a tough.
Two more
to crack.
Goals, just within the in the next few minutes from Lodeiro. And look, after they were down 1-0, it did look like they were pressing up a little bit more, and Lodeiro burned them because of
this.
This
is the thing about Lodeiro. Look, he's only been here half a season. Man, the impact he's had. And I was watching something about Football Manager the other day, and they were saying that MLS clubs are big on reaching out to them and trying to find out, because now they're, you know, Football Manager is now a massive database on players, bigger than most scouting, scouts have for their own clubs. Put Lodeiro up there and find out who's comparable and go get yourself a guy like that. Because, I mean, look, he's Uruguayan. That's part of the reason why I'm so proud of him. But the other part is, like, what an incredible ability to just never stop finding an option on the attack.
Yeah.
He will find, look, they may not always seal it, but let me tell you, Lodeiro and Jordan Morris together, that is going to be dangerous for however long Lodeiro stays here.
Isn't Lodeiro kind of reminds me of like maybe too big praise, but like a young Iniesta. Like he kind of knows where to be.
He's like an Argentinian. Yeah. He's a bit more aggressive and a bit more rough around the edges.
Exactly.
But I think you're right. He reminds me of like Riquelme, who's
Riquelme.
Like Riquelme. Sorry. He kills me.
Was that pretentious that I corrected you?
No, but you were right. it reminds me of someone like him. He reminds me of something that I think the Uruguayan national team needs actually at the moment is just someone who's just out there just pinging these passes into open spaces.
Just poised, and he's good with the ball. He has pace,
and he finds
people.
He actually said something in an interview a long time. And he takes it from Maradona. Maradona said that soccer is essentially when you don't have the ball, you need to find yourself open space, campo. You know, go out there and find yourself some campo. That's exactly what he does. He puts himself in a position that makes it easier for everyone to pass to him, and he has the vision and the follow through to be able to get these perfect passes to everyone. That's perfect for someone like Jordan Morris to learn from. And they're playing at a level where they're like, look, no one wanted us here. We fired our coach. Yeah. No one thinks we're going to do anything. Let's just go out there and put it all on the line, leave it all. And they are leaving it all on that pitch. And it's beautiful to watch unless you're an FC Dallas fan.
Yeah. I mean, Oscar Pereja, the coach for FC Dallas is, I mean, shocked. I mean, there's no way. Yeah. He said after the match that the Seattle Sounders were just much, much, much better. But it's look for seven. FC Dallas was a great team up until those last the 7 minutes at the beginning of the second half. So it is this is an incredible mountain to climb. I don't think FC Dallas is going to get out from a 3-0 aggregate being down.
I don't think so either.
I don't see
if there's any team that could do it in this league, I think it's FC Dallas or Toronto. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think FC Dallas is more than capable of getting over it, but not against a team playing like Seattle's playing right now.
Yeah.
You better hope that heat is blasted on high when you get down to Texas. Texas, you better hope it's humid and disgusting. I know it's not right now, but you better hope out of somewhere
that they're uncomfortable somehow.
You got to find a way. And you know what? If you are a fan of FC Dallas and you are not at this match, don't talk to me, because this is your moment. Same thing goes for NYCFC. Same thing goes for Colorado. This is the moment where you need to be there. And for 90 minutes, it's your job to root your boys on. Because let me tell you something. FC Dallas is going to need that when they get back. NYCFC is going to need that when they get back. And Colorado is definitely 100% going to need that. Put the joints down. Put your vape pens down. Put your pyramid, whatever, vaporizer down. This is it. Get your asses out there and chant and sing and go nuts, because your guys need you right now.
Yeah, so the Sunday, the second leg of all the matches.
Let's hope you all get an Angelina, not a Kathleen.
it's gonna be great. I mean, all the matches start what time? 2:00 Eastern time. The first one, Colorado and LA Galaxy, from 2:00, 4:00, 6:30, and 9:00. One of your teams is playing.
Oh yeah, so, and Leslie Jones is gonna be there talking about bodies. So get your ass out there and watch that match.
How great was that? This
watched all of MLS playoffs.
Yeah, Leslie Jones. She's discovering soccer. It's like a baby sort of tasting lemon for the first time.
Right.
You know, it's like those videos. They're like, what is?
Yeah, this is
going
blowing my mind.
Yeah. So it's just been great to watch her, a fellow comedian, and watch her sort of experience the game, you know, like as...
Probably not for the best reasons, but still, she's here.
Still great. There was my favorite one was she was watching NYCFC against Toronto when Kyrie came in.
Yeah.
And she was just like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So you just you
take off one hot ass dude for another hot ass dude.
Okay.
Bad ass.
I see how you do it, MLS. But she said it with more swears.
Yeah. A lot more.
But it was great.
But this is exactly what you want to see when, as a soccer fan, this is what we want to see is people enjoying the sport for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So whatever reason brings you to the match.
One viewer, she's watching the game. However, you know, some people watch the game with a couple beers.
Yeah, some with family.
Some with family. But clearly Leslie with her vibrator.
Yeah, just painless.
Enjoying herself.
Yeah. And hey, we want you to have fun. We never thought of the MLS as a reason to get off, but go for it.
Go for it. Yeah.
All right.
Well,
I feel bad about the song "Come On, New York" now with Leslie. Now,
yeah, she might take it a little too literally.
A little too literally.
Squirt on New York.
Get yourself a new rug. what a wonderful, you know. And hey, Leslie, if you're listening to this, come watch the match with us, Section 238.
Yeah, you'll have a great time. So
it's gonna be fun. Sunday is the next one. I hope you guys had fun listening to this episode.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Again, we do this every single week. And email us if you know, we said something that you know, you have a question about one of the games, you're
disagree.
Yeah, email us. And also if you want,
tweet at us, we're at Soccer Cooligans.
We have some stickers if you want to, you know, some Cooligan stickers. You want one, just email us, tell, you know, let us know about your playoff team, how they're doing and what you think their chances are, and we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, we'll get some stickers out to you. Again, we are the Cooligans. You can find us soccercooligans.com, Soccer Cooligans on all social media. Email is soccercooligans@gmail.com. My name is Alexis.
My name is Christian.
Your name is Christian Polanco.
Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerreros.
Dímelo, pariguayo.
Ay, mismo coño. La Vega. Anyway, if you need anything from us, all you have to do is click listen. And what you would be listening to is the
Cooligans.